Welcome to Aspire. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for January the 18th, 2025. And we're continuing on with Ken from Connecticut. And I'm grateful that he asked these questions, because probably most of you would never think of asking such a question. And that's kind of sad, too, because when you think about it, there are so many things, I'm sure, that have to be satisfied within you before you would even consider working upon yourself or having some means of working upon yourself. So his second question, yesterday it was, you know, about logic and reasoning. Then the second one is, what are the traits of a person who is spiritual? How do they plug into my spirituality? Well, Ken, this is assuming a great deal that you even have any spirituality. And my bet would be not. I think you have interest in philosophy, but I don't think you have any spirituality. I don't even know what you call spirituality. I stay away from that word as much as I possibly can, because it can mean so many things to so many people. It has to be rationalized. Anything in the authentic practice that would fit your mindset would not be a part of the spiritual practice. It just wouldn't be. We are so far off in this lifetime. We are so far away from that which is authentic and is beautiful in the realm of consciousness. We're not looking for philosophy here, logical, theoretical philosophy. We're looking to achieve consciousness. And this is totally different than what you might think of as your spirituality, which would be nothing more and nothing less than just pure philosophy. And you can get that anywhere. In fact, most people either adopt a philosophy or they are in some way a collage of philosophies that they have gathered together from their reading and decided that this appeals to their mental acuity and go from there. And that is that's a sad thing to say and a sad thing to do, but that's the way we are. We don't do much else. We are not mature people. We are people of the body. We are people of instinct. We are people that live in the confines of self-preservation. So we're not going to mature into the manner of the way. We're going to try to find traits. You use the word traits, which is an interesting word. I looked it up. It's a distinguishing quality or characteristic, something belonging to a person, according to the dictionary. And of course, that means absolutely nothing. What belongs to Ken? What belongs to Gregory? Crazy. You know, you can make up anything you want. And most people, they make up their own spirituality, as you call it. They make it up to be something that is comfortable and convenient. There is nothing convenient about the manner of the way. Absolutely nothing. It is exasperating, to say the least, to be in a spiritual practice. That's to say the least, because there are so many things that you and I do and live from that are annoying, that have nothing to do with the manner of the way. So again, I'm going to yield to the beauty of the Tao. When the wise man hears of the way, he works hard to apply it. When the mediocre person hears of it, he keeps it now and then and loses it. But when the ignorant hear of it, they merely laugh. And if they did not laugh, says Lao Tzu, it would not be the way. So I don't know which student you are. I don't have students. I have attendees, people who come and attend my gatherings at retreats and workshops. But to be honest with you, none of them know a hill of beans after being with me for years of what it really means to go beyond their traits. I tell them, I show them, I teach them, but they're engrossed in their emotionality. So here's the deal, Ken, and not to, you know, kind of meander around the subject, you're going to have to give up everything you believe in, every emotion that impulses you to believe in any thought you may have, and you're going to have to learn how to sit in the simplicity of a lifestyle that is not geared towards desire, ambition, and pride. You're going to have to let all that go. You would have to let go of what you think is right and wrong, good and bad, natey-natey, neither this, neither that. And you would have to learn how to live in a solitude within yourself, never allowing the pedestrian mentality which you possess as your mind to overtake you. And this is why Lhotse says the person who understands it, understands the manner of the way, they work at it diligently. But the mediocre person merely kind of looks at it and entertains it here and there. And that's, I don't even think that's your premise. I don't think it's that at all. You're more like the one that laughs at this and thinks, well, that's not, you know, practical. That's not logical. That's not reasonable. No, you're right. It's not. And that's the point of it all. It isn't anything that you can conjure up in your thinking and believe in your mind and pride yourself on the idea of it, thinking, oh, I've got it right now. Oh, I understand. I'm right now. If rightness, righteousness, and the idea of being righteous in righteousness appeals to you, then you will never find the way. Never. It will never manifest. It will never mature. It will never grow in you. Not ever, not never. You have to be of the ilk where you seek the manner of the way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are humble. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, where you do literally hunger and thirst for it. You understand the futility of living as a human being, and only as a human being, and never really seeing the true manner of the way. You live in a cavern of right and wrong, good and bad, a tunnel. And with all of this being said, it makes the practice exasperating. It isn't for everyone. If it were for everyone, people would do it. But it's not. It represents a sacrifice. And we run around in these bodies, in these human carcasses, and we have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea why we're here. And we don't care. Our hearts have been hardened. We really just don't care. And because we don't care, and because it doesn't seem appealing to anything our mind can grasp and hold on to as spirituality, we lose it. We never achieve anything. And that's the issue. We don't achieve anything. So the way the truth and the light are exasperating, and not many people can do it. Not many people will do it. And that's why the world is the way the world is. As you talk about in your last email, why is the world the way it is? Well, it's based in the fundamental principle of self-righteousness and self-preservation in that righteousness. And of course, if you want to take that attitude, which most people do, you fall into the collective unconscious. And everything you think, say, and do becomes something more than just a harmless spirituality. You and I do harm to the world. We do harm to ourselves and those around us without ever knowing it. Can I know my answers weren't pleasant and probably gratifying, but nevertheless, you wrote me, and it is my job, my responsibility, my honor to maybe offer you something different. And that's something that most teachers would never talk about. You don't build a following this way, you know. Anyway, thank you for your questions. I hope they helped. If any of you have questions, you can reach me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. And if you don't want me to use your name and all of that, you don't have to. But I would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.